ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
So tonight we are studying that cream of Vedic wisdom, that king of knowledge, Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, with translation and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter number 2, contents of the Gita summarized. Text number 59. Vishaya vinivartante.
Vishaya vinivartante.
Nirahar vashyadehina.
Nirahar vashyadehina.
Vasavarjam vasopyasya. Param drishva nivartate. Vishaya vinivartante. Nirahar vashyadehina. Vasavarjam vasopyasya. Param drishva nivartate.
Vishyavinivartante
Niraharasya
dehina
Rasavarjam
rasopyasya
Param
drishva nivartate
Vishayavinivartante
Niraharasya dehina
Param drishva nivartate
Vishaya Objects for sense enjoyment. Vinivartante are practiced to be refrained from. Niraharasya by negative restrictions. Dehina for the embodied. Rasavarjam giving up the taste. Rasa sense of enjoyment. Api although there is. Ashya is param far superior thing. Drishtva by experiencing. Nirvartate he ceases from. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remain. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Purport. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from a certain type of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual progress process like Ashtanga Yoga, Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna, in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are for less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Om Jnanatimalandash Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shivarave Namah. So, Prabhupada has given us a nice test. Every one of us can do a little self-test to see if we're Krishna conscious or not yet. Have you lost your taste for material sense gratification? Is it? Everyone, we won't ask for a show of hands. We don't want to embarrass everyone. But the fact is, we are still hankering for sense enjoyment. Gross or subtle or both. That's the reality. That means we have not actually yet tasted what is Krishna consciousness. I was speaking with one of the younger members of our spiritual family here today. She was feeling some lack of taste. In other words, we may take Krishna consciousness sentimentally. Well, everyone else is doing it, so I'll do it too. My friends are doing it. My family is doing it, so I will also do. But unless we actually get that taste, you see, then after some time we'll find it boring and uninteresting. Something else, you know, like I'll try one thing for a while, I'll try something else for a while, you know. In the material world they do that, you know, they get into one thing for a while, and after that they get, after a while they get tired, they try something else and something different. That's modern day society, you see. They can't even stick with one wife anymore. They have to try one for a while, have another one. It's the modern day mentality. You know, buy one car for a while and get another one, always changing, changing, changing. So people take Krishna consciousness as some other thing like that, but they don't really get a taste for what it is. One who has actually tasted Krishna consciousness will never be interested in anything but Krishna consciousness. There is so much nectar in one pure recitation of Hare Krishna that all this material universe cannot contain that much nectar. Just imagine all the pleasure that's available in this material world, even on the heavenly planets. All that pleasure is available. You add it all up, all the sex pleasure, all the money pleasure, all the fame pleasure, all the eating pleasure, all the comfortable couch pleasure, whatever, all the fancy car pleasure, Rolls Royce, whatever, Mercedes. You add up all the pleasures that could ever be tasted throughout the history of the entire universe. Put it on one side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale, you put one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. Immediately it outweighs all of that pleasure. So, do you think it is a very intelligent program to continue hankering for material sense pleasure? Is that intelligent? No, that is not intelligent. It is called poor fund of knowledge. They don't know. Here we have a nice plate of prasadam, rasagula, sandesh, sabji, dal, very nice luchi, puri, so many nice food sets we have. On this side we have one plate of pig stool. Ooh. But they are running to the pig stool. I will eat the stool, the pig of the stool. very good food. So that is the material life. They become addicted to eating the stool of the pig. Illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, egotism, egoism. You see? They're addicted to the life of a stool eating hog. Just like eating the stool. Punak punak sharvananam. They are chewing that which has been chewed again and again and is rejected by them. But they again they want to chew. There must be some pleasure in material sense gratification. Let me squeeze it a little harder. Maybe I can get some pleasure out of it. So, what's the difficulty? Why do we keep running after the stool? Why are we not getting a taste of that wonderful Krishna consciousness? What is the difficulty? Why do people join this movement for some time, even get initiated, and then go away? What is the difficulty? They made a commitment to Guru, they said yes, then they come and they go. Why do people come and go? Because they never actually tasted what is Krishna consciousness. They came out of curiosity, some sentiment, some new different thing. That's on the platform of the mind. The mind accepts and the mind rejects. That is its nature. Someone may accept Krishna consciousness on the mental platform only. They may appear to be a very good devotee. But unless it goes to the higher platform of the intelligence, it comes and it goes. Because the mind is always going, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Today, yes, Hare Krishna. Tomorrow, no, Hare Krishna. We must come to that higher platform. We must come to the platform of intelligence. On that platform, you will never say no to Krishna. You will always say, yes, Krishna. I am your eternal servant. So how do we come to the platform of intelligence? We have to hear the Vedic wisdom. And we have to apply the Vedic wisdom. We have to know the philosophy very well. We have to become learned. Bhakti Shastri. We have to become learned in the Bhakti Shastra. We have to know the philosophy. Not that we're simply doing it out of some sentiment. We have to understand why I'm a devotee of Krishna. Why the nature of the soul is to serve God. Why the soul cannot be happy in material sense gratification. Why the soul can only be happy in serving Krishna. Why the material nature appears to be enjoyable but actually is not. These things must be known. The parents must know this, the children have to know this. Otherwise, who will stay in this Hare Krishna movement? We're, from the ordinary viewpoint, we're weird. Isn't it? In the material society, they consider us to be very weird and strange. So unless we have a deep philosophical understanding, we will be influenced by their attitude about us. We will give up this Krishna consciousness movement. We have to have a very deep understanding of why the living entity is the servant of Krishna. Jivara sarupa hai Krishnara nityadas. We have to know this science very thoroughly. We must come to this platform of ruchi described here where there's actually taste. That higher taste is there. Very, very important. As we described this morning, there is Shraddha, there is faith, then there is Sadhu Sangha, the association of the devotees. There is Bhajana Kriya, where we take shelter of Guru, we take up the rules and regulations, we get Diksha. You see, that's called Bhajana Kriya. And then from Bhajana Kriya, the dirt comes out of the heart, we become fixed up, and we get taste. We have to come to that position of taste if we want to remain in Krishna consciousness. Don't be content simply that everyone thinks I'm a nice devotee. One of my godbrothers lately said, "Oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're a nice devotee." And I was thinking, well, you know, nice isn't good enough. That's not, just because the devotees think I'm a nice devotee, that's not enough. Prabhupada wants me to become perfect. Nice is not good enough. You think, well, all the devotees, in they think I'm nice, so I'm okay now. I don't have to worry about advancing anymore. Everybody thinks I'm nice. That is not enough. Don't be content that all the devotees like me, they think I'm nice, so everything's fine now. I'm just as advanced as I need to be. I don't need to advance any further now. I can just kind of coast along and just enjoy being nice with all the people who think that I'm nice. No. You will not, unless you move forward in Krishna consciousness, you will lose the taste. You must push yourself to come to higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. Every day, every minute. Otherwise, after some time, you will lose your taste for it. The river that doesn't flow towards the sea becomes stagnant. It's no longer a clear, nice river. It's stagnant. Yeah, algae growing everywhere. So we need to always be moving forward. This is Hare Krishna movement, right? Or is it called the Hare Krishna stagnant? This is the Hare Krishna movement. That means the members are supposed to be moving. If we're not moving, then we're not with the movement. Just like when the Ratha Yatra festival is there, you have to keep moving, isn't it? Or the fellow, you'll be left behind. But you just sit there and like, this is a great festival, I love it. And you're sitting there and you look up and where is it? It's gone. It's two blocks down the street. You have to keep moving with the festival. You want to be in tasting the nectar. So if we want to be happy in Krishna consciousness, we have to keep moving in Krishna consciousness. Thinking, how can I become more advanced? How can I chant better rounds? How can I give better service to the Vaishnavas? How can I give better service to Guru Maharaj? How can I be more dedicated to Sri Prabhupada's mission? Everything always increasing. Never be satisfied. Devotees would distribute a huge number of books and Prabhupada would say, very good, now double it. Prabhupada says, practically, I am whipping them. Distribute books. Actually, we should not be satisfied until every single man, woman, and child on this planet is wearing Vaishnava tila. Then we can relax. Prabhupada said that when the high court judges bring tilak, then we are successful. That would be a big success if here in this country the high court judges are wearing Vaishnava tilak. Just imagine what success that would be. Of course, you all say it's impossible, don't you? Impossible. Right? Impossible. But do you know in whose dictionary the word impossible appears? A fool's dictionary. Don't be a fool. Lord Chaitanya converted the Muslims. You know that? Lord Chaitanya converted Muslims. Of course, you have to preach according to times like the church. You can't do that right now because then they'll deport you all. But at least in our heart we can think, let me chant with such purity that it has a very powerful influence on everyone in this country. The fact is, just by pure chanting you can have an impact. Let us be so pure in our practice that create a wonderful atmosphere in this country that people become inspired, become to higher levels of spiritual understanding. So in that way we can meditate. The tortoise hatches its eggs by meditation. So even just by meditating, that's there in the Bhagavatam. But here in the Singha, Hridaya Nrisingha is described in Prabhupada's purport. You know the meaning of that? How Prabhupada defines it? But here in the Singha, Hridaya Nrisingha. That my heart, that may Lord Nrisingadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my heart become clean so that I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire earth. That is the meaning of that Bahirna Singha Hridayana Singha. The devotee is meditating, let me become completely pure and let me spread Krishna consciousness to everyone, every place throughout the entire world. That's how the devotee is meditating. So when you sing the Nisinga prayers, when you sing Bahirna Singha Hridayana Singha, you can wish it like that, that let this Krishna consciousness bless everyone on this planet. That is the meaning of Bahirna Singha. You see. Hridaya means Krishna consciousness within the heart. Hridaya Nisinga. And Bahirna Singha means let there be Krishna consciousness in the heart of every person throughout the entire universe. So when you chant Bahirna Singha, Hridaya Nisinga, you can meditate that may this movement spread to everyone on this entire planet. So if we all meditate like that, it will have a powerful effect. So the question is, why are we not getting taste? We have to solve this problem of wanting a movement to grow. Why are we not getting taste? Why do we lose taste after a while? The answer is because we're not trying to advance more and more and more in Krishna consciousness. We're content with whatever level we have. We think, now this is very nice. I will simply coast. We first come, it's a new thing. We have to take up new austerities we're not used to. We gradually become used to those austerities. We get fixed on our rounds, fixed on our principles. But then we hit a place where we're not growing anymore. We wonder, well, why am I really doing this? Maybe I should do something else. We have to take up the mood of a preacher. That's how we can move to the higher levels. Let me practice Krishna consciousness for my own benefit and for the benefit of all the living entities on this planet. We're thinking like that. How can I live my life in such a way that everyone on this planet becomes blessed with Krishna consciousness? That mood of preaching will give unlimited nectar. That's where we can get unlimited nectar, more and more nectar, more and more nectar, more and more nectar. To be in that mood of distributing Krishna consciousness for everyone's benefit. So that's the answer. Don't just practice Krishna consciousness for yourself, for your family, but think about the greater family of all living entities. Try to practice Krishna consciousness in that mood, helping everyone. So, if you do like this, your life will be very happy. You'll be very successful. You'll become free of all anxiety. That's a fact. All anxiety will go from your life. If you always think how to free everyone from anxiety, if that becomes your anxiety, and how to free everyone else from anxiety, then you will have no anxiety. This is a secret technique. Make your anxiety freeing others from anxiety. And then you personally will have no anxiety of your own. But if you don't think about freeing others from their anxiety, then you will find you have so many anxieties about your own personal situation. Anxiety we must have. So let our anxiety be transcendental, because that sort of anxiety is ecstatic. That sort of anxiety is blissful. You take up the anxiety of freeing the suffering people of this world from anxiety. That is a blissful anxiety. Why? Because it pleases Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, we automatically become pleased. So is everyone ready now to take up that anxiety of how to deliver all the fallen souls? Is everyone ready, eager now or not?
Yes.
Say yes or no.
Yes.
Jai. Very good. So, are there any questions? Silence. So, I will wait for the question. I will just answering it.
Every morning you were talking about the steps of attaining prema, to go to the stage of prema.
Attaining prema.
So, there are different steps. You were telling the steps in the devotional service.
Yeah.
So, we are all working here, being in a girl's country. We have come here to, we are here to get more money. That attitude we came here.
Yeah, that's all right. After money coming, is required.
After coming here, like we are still in the materialistic world and still half, one leg here and one leg in the spiritual world.
So yes,
what,
yes.
What will be our question? How to, like, what will be our question?
Yes. That is a very good question. I appreciate that very much. The question is that everyone has come here for making money and still they're thinking how to make money. So we got one foot in the spiritual world and one foot in the material world. What's the situation? What's our position? If you're on the Titanic and the Titanic ship is sinking and there is a lifeboat, you go over that lifeboat, you put one foot in the lifeboat and keep another foot on the Titanic, or you put both feet in the lifeboat?
Both on the lifeboat.
Yeah. If you keep one foot in the lifeboat and the other on the Titanic, then when the Titanic sinks, you will fall into the water. The chances, you run the risk, you could fall into the lifeboat if you're lucky, but there's also the chance you'll fall back into the ocean and drown with all the other people. So it's a very dangerous thing to keep your foot in the material world and the spiritual world. How do you then make a living then? That would be the question. How can I possibly make a living? How can I pay my bills? How can I feed my kids? Right? That would be the obvious question. The answer is you have to do your material duties under the guidance of Guru. Under the enlightened guidance of the spiritual master, the sadhus, the scripture. Material duty has to be executed. But it has to be done in an enlightened way, not according to whim, not according to your senses, but according to the direction of higher authority. And then you're protected. That's it. So that's why initiation is required. That's why guru is required. Because guru means that authority on who you fully surrender to his guidance. Even though you have your fully surrendered disciple, think whatever Guru tells me, I will do. If he tells me to stay here and earn money, I will do. If he tells me to go to Vrindavan, I will do whatever he says. So then, you're acting under Guru's instruction. You're fully surrendered to Guru, and Guru says, all right, my dear disciple, you stay here in Qatar and you make livelihood. So then you're acting, then your both feet are in the lifeboat. Put yourself under the direction of your spiritual master. Completely, totally. Then you're completely in the lifeboat. Even if he tells you to keep earning living, you remain in your position, then you're safe. The example is there of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Brahmin Kurma. You may know that historical example. During the rainy season in India, the sannyasi, they will stay, a wandering sannyasi, they will stay in one householder's home during the rainy season. So there's one village, Kurma Chetra. So, in that village, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the house of one Brahmin named Kurma. Can you imagine to have Lord Chaitanya staying in your house for 4 months? How much bliss you would be tasting if Chaitanya stayed in your house for 4 months? Amazing mercy, huh? Being able to cook directly for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serve him nicely, what an amazing nectar that would be. Inconceivable nectar that would be. Lord Chaitanya staying in your house for 4 months. What an amazing thing. So, but the rainy season came to an end, and now it's time for him to go wandering about again as a wandering sannyasi. So, the Brahmin Kurma, he said, I'm getting out of here. I'm taking sannyas and coming with you. Forget this household life. Forget it. I'm not going to stay in this dark well of household life. I'm getting out right now with you. I'm leaving. What did Lord Chaitanya tell him? Jari deka tarikaha. Krishna Upadesh, Maharagaya Guru Hoyatare Desh. He said, you stay here and you follow my order and then you will see me again. He said, no, actually you will see me in every minute. You will never be separated from me for even 1 minute. You simply follow this instruction. Remain in your household life, and whomever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. So, in this situation, you cannot directly do, but by your saintly qualities, you can tell them about Krishna. Just by your saintly qualities, you tell them about Krishna. So in this way, if you follow the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you remain in your household life, but you perfectly dovetail that household life in the service of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. And that way you're safe. That's an excellent question. I thank you very much for that question. Next question. So tonight the ladies will defeat the gents on asking intelligent questions. They say the ladies are less intelligent, but I think it's in reverse now. Now I see the men are less intelligent. Kali Yuga. Okay, men. Don't remain less intelligent. Oh, okay, another one. All right, very good.
You were talking about anxiety. And
talking about?
Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Anxiety, yes.
And you were telling it was better to be in spiritual anxiety.
Spiritual anxiety.
When will we experience it?
When will you experience spiritual anxiety?
Yeah.
When you feel sorry to see that people are not Krishna conscious. I had a little experience, I had the good fortune that one time I wrote Prabhupada a letter in which I experienced, in which I expressed, I mean to say, spiritual anxiety. We had a small preaching center that was opened in by Vishnu Jana Maharaj in Austin, Texas, and I joined a movement there. But then there was some talk to close down the center and just go traveling and preaching. And I was thinking, what about the people here in Austin? If we don't have a center here, how they will have a chance to become Krishna conscious? So I was in anxiety by closing down the center because, well, for one thing, Prabhupada had ordered me to make the Austin Center a grand success in my initiation letter. I was thinking, how will Sir Prabhupada's order if there's no center here? So I revealed my anxiety to Srila Prabhupada. That the people, if we close this, what will happen to the people here if we close the center because they're in great difficulty without Krishna consciousness? So I expressed this anxiety to Prabhupada. He was so happy with me. It was unbelievable how much pleasure. He was so happy. And he wrote that letter back. He so much expressed his appreciation for my attitude. So I learned very quickly, as a young brahmachari, that if you can be in anxiety about the fallen conditioned souls, that gives great pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. So just imagine if you can please Prabhupada very much, how much mercy you will get from him. So the more we can feel compassion, the more we can feel sorry for the general population who are suffering without Krishna consciousness, that is our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So try, if you don't feel any compassion or anxiety, then pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can feel compassion for these souls who are lost in the cycle of birth and death. You can pray to Krishna and beg him to give you that anxiety. He will answer your prayer. He will. He'll be very pleased. He's just waiting when that soul will want to take up this mood of preacher. That is preacher. Preacher doesn't mean you can talk big words. That is not preacher. Preacher means who feels compassion in his heart, who cannot tolerate to see people suffering without Krishna consciousness. That is preacher. Prabhupada said, he taught us in America, he said, if you feel anything for your countrymen, then spread this Krishna consciousness movement. They are dying. To develop this compassionate movement. What does Krishna say? There is no one more dear to me than that one who preaches this message. There's nobody, there will never be anyone more dear than that person to me. That person who knows how to feel anxiety about the suffering of the conditioned soul, that person is the most dear to Krishna. No one will ever be more dear than that person to Krishna. So, you want to get the higher taste, then you become in that mood, that you will relish every minute as the sweetest pleasure. Questions more? This is a very popular question. How did you join? Actually, our Brahmananda Prabhu, our godbrother, he explained to Srila Prabhupada, he had joined. That one friend had introduced him to Krishna consciousness. But his friend did not join. And Prabhupada said, yes, I had this similar experience when I joined. Prabhupada's friend, Narendranath Malik, he was pulling Prabhupada to the curtain. You come on, you come meet this sadhu. He would drag, he said, Prabhupada said, practically he dragged me. But he didn't have joined. So Prabhupada actually very much liked to hear from the devotees how you joined. He liked that very much. Actually, Prabhupada liked it, you know that. He liked it. So it is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, it is pleasing to the Vaishnavas also. How did you join? Well, I'll tell you how I joined. When I was a young boy, I was not happy. But everybody around me looked so happy. I was smiling and laughing and joking. Everyone looked. I was wondering, what is wrong with me? Why I'm not happy? Everybody else is happy, but I'm unhappy. When I was a young boy. Then as I grew up, I was thinking, this world is messed up. And I was thinking, the only meaningful life that I can live is, I must live my life to uplift the global consciousness, to make one spiritual revolution. I felt that I must do that. That would be a meaningful life. Just to make some money and get some house and get a wife and some kids and get old and sick and die and be buried 6 feet under and have flowers on my grave once a year until they forget about me. What's the use of such a life? I don't feel inspired to do that. There's nothing there. You see, I get a nice wife, some nice kids, a nice house, and be buried. What's the point? I thought I must make a spiritual revolution on this planet. I felt that I must do that with my life. So I tried to do that. I was writing songs and singing them to the people in many places, and they loved my music. They said, oh, you're great. I've never heard anyone who sings like you do. You're the best musician I've ever heard. So many people like, and I was trying to elevate the global consciousness by music. But then I realized that, how can I elevate when I myself am in the darkness of ignorance? How can I give spiritual enlightenment when I myself am ignorant? I'm in a suffering condition. So I had to pray to God to guide me, how I can get out of my darkness of ignorance, how I can become an enlightened being. I had to pray for that mercy, how I can become a spiritually enlightened being. So I was praying and praying, and then one day that knock came on the door, as I explained earlier. Vishnu Janaswami had come to town. And I saw, and I met an enlightened being, a person who was full of light, who was emanating light. Every word was light. Every gesture was light. And I was very attracted to Vishnu Janaswami. Very, very attracted. So then I learned from him how he became what he was by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And I said, yes, I will do also. I want to be like this Vishnu Janaswami. I want to be able to travel everywhere and attract people to this Krishna consciousness. So I did that. I took shelter of Prabhupada. Even though we were not so well cultured like you Indian people, we were from rough background, American culture, very sense gratificatory background. So living in the ashram was not always the smoothest thing for me, getting along with the other brahmacharis. I was not perfect by any means in my dealings in the ashram. But His Holiness Vishnujan, he was very merciful. In fact, I was amazed. He wrote Prabhupada a letter and gave a nice report that this boy, he's doing very nicely. He's serving very nicely. I was thinking, I'm serving nicely? Me? I don't want to have no service attitude. I don't know how to get along nicely with the other devotees. But yet, Vishnujan wrote Prabhupada. He said, this boy, he's doing very nice service. So I'm recommending him for Diksha. And Prabhupada said, alright, you've recommended him. He's doing nicely. I will initiate him. And that was an amazing thing. That Vishnujan Maharaj, he was so kind. I felt like he was stretching the truth a little bit, actually. He told Prabhupada I was serving nicely. I felt he was stretching the truth a little bit out of kindness, that Prabhupada would have mercy on me. Because I knew I wasn't always doing the nicest. I wasn't very cooperative. I didn't have a service attitude. Independent, lazy mentality. Prabhupada mercifully took me under his lotus feet, gave me his shelter, and blessed me. So in that way, by Prabhupada's grace, we're gradually learning how to develop a service mood, and slowly, slowly we're learning how to become humble, and how to cooperate very nicely always with the Vaishnavas. So in this way, for 34 years, we feel some progress. The mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of Vishnujan Maharaj, who got me connected with Prabhupada. By the mercy of so many wonderful devotees like you. You are Prabhupada's I see each and every one of you as a representative of Srila Prabhupada. You are the followers, you are the Prabhupada Nugas. Just by being in your presence, I'm feeling stronger connection with Srila Prabhupada. Now in this way, my life has become simply wonderful. One God brother, he asked Prabhupada, you know those simply wonderful, those sweets? You've ever tasted those simply wonderful sweets? Do you know what is simply wonderful? Has anyone ever told you? Simply wonderful? No, no one knows. It was a type of sweet that was very popular in the early days of this kind. You just take some powdered milk, some powdered sugar, and some butter, and you make a nice sweet ball out of it. It's easy to make a big quantity. There's no cooking involved. You just melt the butter. You can even let it just melt naturally without a stove. It's very handy when you're traveling in a van and doing book distribution. Without even a stove, you can make some sweets. You just buy the powdered milk, powdered sugar, and the butter, and you mix it together. If you throw some strawberries in it, a few little strawberries, really gives it a nice flavor. So it was a very popular sweet in the early days of this kind in North America. Prabhupada gave the name, Simply Wonderful, for the sweet. So, one disciple asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody Simply Wonderful on the street? Srila Prabhupada said, he will come to your center and he will become Simply Wonderful. He said, your Krishna is Simply Wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is Simply Wonderful. And you are all Simply Wonderful. And then when the devotee said, Prabhupada is Simply Wonderful. Prabhupada said, that's all right, I've kirtan. So, by the mercy of this Simply Wonderful Vaishnavas, like you were all simply wonderful. ISKCON Krishna Katadesh Vaishnavas, you are all simply wonderful, I'll tell you. I've never been served like this anywhere in the world. I was just absolutely amazed taking prasada today and being served by 6 people at one time. I've never seen such service anywhere. Such nice, loving service you give. So you're all simply wonderful. And so just go on being simply wonderful and become more and more wonderful. Make at least all the Hindu population here, all of them simply wonderful. That will have a powerful impact on the world atmosphere. So, any other question? I left out Mataji's story. She doesn't like to tell it. You want to tell it? Yes, question. Is that the question? Or are we having a second? That's one question. Is there a second question?
The second question is that.
It's easier for me to take one question at a time. If I get 2 questions, it's much easier if I just give me 1 question, let me answer that. And then the second question can be asked after I answer the first one. That makes it easier.
So how do you realize also that you are eternal servant of Krishna?
Okay. How do you realize I'm not the body? How do you realize we're the eternal servant of Krishna? Manaji has very nicely pointed out there's a difference between theoretical understanding and practical realization. You can say, I'm not the body. And then you hit yourself and you just get all very disturbed about it, very disturbed. So that means you haven't realized you're not your body. You can say theoretically, I'm a body, but then you go, So realization and understanding are 2 different things. Jnana and Vijnana. So how do we become actually detached from the body, situated on the transcendental platform? That comes by reattaching yourself somewhere else. You cannot detach yourself from this body unless you attach yourself to Krishna. That is the answer. To realize I'm not this body, to realize I'm Krishna's eternal servant, this requires becoming very, very attached to Krishna. And becoming attached to Krishna means becoming attached to the devotees of Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna told Arjuna, he says, one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So if we find fault with the devotees, we don't get attached to the devotees, we will never become Krishna conscious. We have to learn how to appreciate the saintly qualities of the devotees. Every person has a combination of good and bad qualities. But a devotee is someone who looks for the good in that person, not for the bad. The fly goes after a stool and sores on the body. If you have a sore on your body, the fly will come and want to eat it. Eat the pus coming out of your sore. But the honeybee, he's looking for the honey. So a devotee is not like a fly, he's like a honeybee. He wants the nectar. He wants to see the good quality in every devotee. every single devotee, he wants to see what are the wonderful saintly qualities in this Vaishnava. He wants to appreciate those saintly qualities. So in this way, by appreciating the saintly qualities in the devotees, you become attached to the devotees, and to the extent that you're attached to the devotees, to that extent you're attached to Krishna. You cannot jump beyond the devotees and go to Krishna directly. There's already enough monkeys in Vrindavan. We're going to go hump, jumping from branch to branch. We have to go through the authorized system, become the devotee of the devotee, and then we are Krishna's devotees. So learn how to become attached like Narottam Das. What does Narottam Das say? Ramachandra Sange Bhage Narottam Das. I'm always hankering, I'm so attached to that Ramachandra Chakravarti. I'm so attached to Ramachandra. I'm always thinking, when can I associate with Ramachandra? When can I associate? When can I associate with Ramachandra Chakravarti? He's singing it. He doesn't just say it, but he's singing it. You can say something, if you put it in a song that you're singing, how much feeling there is. Ramachandra Sanga Mage Narottama Das. So much emphasis he's giving. So we must hanker, we must be very attached to the Vaishnavas, always hankering for the Vaishnava Sangha. In this way, our attachment for Krishna will become nishta, very solid, fixed up attachment. So that's how you, if you want to realize Krishna, then you become attached to the devotees. That's the answer to your question. And attachment means service. It's like if you tell your wife, my dear wife, I love you very much. She says, my dear husband, tonight I'm very sick. Can you please wash the dishes so I can take some rest? He says, no, I'm going to the bowling alley tonight. Sorry. Bowling alley, they don't have it. In America, it's very popular. Some stupid thing of rolling the ball and knocking the pins down. Bowling alley. But I'm going to the bowling alley tonight with my friends. Sorry. See, love means service. You say, I love you, my dear wife, and there is need, and you don't serve, then you don't love her. You just, it's just the words only. Talk is cheap, Vishnu Jan Maharaj used to say. Talk is cheap. Isn't it? Very cheap. Isn't it? Talk is cheap. Action speaks louder than words. That's the other saying. Action speaks louder than words. Apani at pari, prabhuji verasi kayo. First you practice, then you preach. So, if you really love your wife, then you must serve your wife. If you really love your husband, you must serve your husband. If you really love your kids, you must serve your kids. We see in the Western countries, they say they love the kids, they just put them in front of the TV set. Well, they do all nonsense, the parents do all nonsense. But I see my disciple, Bhai Charan, he does such a nice job. He's constantly with his child, engaging him in Krishna's service. From the time he was first born, every time the father offers obeisances, the son is with him. He's putting him down with him, teaching him. He doesn't even know what's going on, a little baby. And now the boy is automatically doing bhakti because the father isn't, whenever the ghee whip goes around, the father puts it in the boy's hand and gives the ghee whip by using the boy's hand to everyone. This boy is learning how to serve the Vaishnavas. So, by serving the Vaishnavas, that's our real attachment to the Vaishnavas. The more we can serve the Vaishnavas, the more we can become attached to the Vaishnavas, and that way our love for Krishna becomes very, very strong. And we realize what is Krishna consciousness. Next question. Did that answer your question? It did not answer your question. All right, then you ask another question.
How to understand?
Huh?
How do we understand that we're eternally the servant of Krishna?
Yes. Aham savasya pavavo
matak-sarvam pravartate. You see, Krishna says everything emanates from me. If you take the words of Krishna as truth, then you must accept that you are emanating from Krishna. You are part of Him. You are His energy. So, do we not see that within everything, the part is meant to serve the whole, like just like on this watch, every part of the watch is meant to serve the complete whole of the watch. And if that part does not do that, we have to take it to the repairman, fix it. The watch is broken. So, the part always serves the whole. That is a natural law. You can study that principle. You take any example. The part is always meant to serve the whole. So since we are part of Krishna, being His emanation, His parts and parcels, therefore we are naturally meant to serve Krishna. What is the difficulty? Understand. We are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore we are meant to serve Him naturally. Questions? More? Yes.
Yeah, give some practical steps to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha.
Very good question. Practical steps to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha. Obeisances, obeisances, and obeisances. In your mind, I didn't mean that in a joking way, but three types of obeisances. The way that your attitude towards the Vaishnavas, you should have an obeisances type of attitude towards the Vaishnavas. Always in your mind bowing down to the Vaishnavas. Your words should also be very respectful, giving obeisances by being very respectful, and then also with the body. So obeisances with the mind, obeisances with the words, and obeisances with the body. So that is the method. Obeisances, obeisances, and obeisances. How to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha. Some might say, well, I know how to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha. Just avoid the Vaishnavas and we'll stay away from them. That way I won't do any Aparadha. But wait a minute, then you're doing it in your mind. The way to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha is you have to have a positive relationship with the Vaishnavas. Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. Find a way that you can respect every single devotee within your mind and the way you talk about them behind their back also. Even when you talk about other devotees behind their back, find a way to always respect them. Even if there's a disagreement, still we have to find a way to always respect the devotees. And then when you're actually meeting them, you bow down at their feet. Being proactive, always being respectful, proactively respectful. That's how that, if you're so busy being respectful to devotees, there's no room for opera. When the cup is full of milk, you try to add some ink, it'll just roll off the side and won't even go into the cup. So just fill your heart up with nice appreciation of the Vaishnavas. The way you think about them, the way you speak about them, the way you relate with them. Everything, very, very first class, and then there'll be no room for Aparadha to enter your heart. That's the tip. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
Meat eating is a sin. Avoiding meat eating is a sin.
Yes, meat eating is very sinful.
Providing the meat is equally a sin.
Yes.
What if that is your profession?
Then you, someone has a profession of butcher providing meat. Is that your profession?
No, part of it.
Part of it. Well, there has. It's difficult to do everything purely. Just like previously, I used to sell airline tickets before I became a spiritual master, giving tickets to Goloka Vrindavan. I was a travel agent giving tickets to Delhi and Bombay from America. I was a travel agent who specialized on India travel. I was a householder. We were doing a part-time business, home-based business, selling tickets to India to support the country. So I realized that most of the passengers were Indian vegetarian diet, but sometimes there was people who were eating meat. I would sell them tickets, and they would eat meat on the airplane. After buying a ticket for me, I realized there's some imperfection in that service. So it's a matter of degree, really. It's a matter of degree, because Prabhupada, Krishna points out, in this material world, every endeavor is covered by some kind of fault. So it's a matter of degree. I mean, you can work for a telephone company. And then there's some people using the telephone to do sinful thing. They're calling up McDonald's and asking for some home delivery of some hamburgers on the telephone, and you're the one who installed the telephone line. In this material world, every endeavor is covered by some sort of fault. You just have to minimize it as much as possible. It's a matter of degree. So what percentage of your business is promoting meat? 50%? 1%?
Major percent.
Major percent. What kind of meat? Cow?
Chicken.
Chicken.
Fish.
Fish. The specifics of, are you initiated?
No, it's part of my business. I work for a company looking after catering business. Something
you were
initiated. No, I didn't initiate
it. You're not initiated, yeah. You need to talk. I mean, I could meet with you privately. This is a very personal thing. I don't want to do it in the... I mean, I could, but I don't think it's... I think it's rather a personal thing. We could talk about it in one-on-one. All the details, the gory details, what your company, that company is doing. And see, I mean, that's this sort of thing is for personal consultation. It's a matter of degree. You can't... In practically any profession, you can find some... You know, something's faulty with it. Some kind of... So it's a matter of degree. So these sort of things you have to... I'll be willing to meet with you one-on-one and talk about it in detail. Or I can give you my email address if we don't have time now, but I can... We can talk about it by email, too, if there's not enough time tonight. But you can also... You have your leaders here. You can talk to the local leaders. You have senior devotees like Vaikunthapati Prabhu, Radhajivan Prabhu. You can ask their opinions also. And they can also ask Jai Pataka Swami what he thinks. So, yeah, for these sort of things, we talk to senior devotees and get their opinion. Because we have to be very careful. Next question. All questions answered now? Everyone's fully satisfied. Everyone completely satisfied.
My daughter got a question. I wanted to study his election. You were telling you should not ask Krishna about food.
What is the question?
You should not ask Krishna about food. Automatically become. So why is there many people without food?
You're saying that yesterday in the lecture you mentioned that we should not ask Krishna for food.
Yes.
So why there is so many people who and automatically it will come according to the karma. So why there are so many people who does not get food?
Yes, they are suffering from sinful reactions. Yeah. But we can introduce Krishna Prasadam to those people. And that way we're freeing them from karma. It's Prasad distribution, very powerful thing to uplift the consciousness of the world. Yes. They're suffering their karma. They're suffering. So that's why we have to be compassionate and think how we can spread this Krishna consciousness movement so people won't suffer like that. And in the meantime, we can feed them prasad. That will free them from karma by taking prasad. Any other question? So, this is our last public lecture here, and I was too short of a visit. We didn't realize there was so much nectar awaiting us here in Qatar. So we didn't plan a very long visit here. But we so much appreciate the wonderful, loving dealings of all the Vaishnavas here, and we, Mataji and I, very much appreciate your
wonderful Vaishnava move here. And we thank you very much for everything. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.